Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. The message this week is called Hallelujah. Thank you to Glynis, Tim, and Dawn for being involved in the video.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is very wonderful to see you all, and I know that there will be people tuning in online as well, and as one of those people who often tunes in online, it's nice to be greeted. So good to see everyone and good to be seen by whomever's watching. Oh, yeah. Wow. That's better. You know what? You just kind of get used to it being on there, right? And it's like, didn't even think about it. So I'll say that again. Good morning, everyone. And there's my smiling face to prove it. So it really is good to see everyone. It's a blustery, kind of dark day outside, but as they used to say, it's wonderful and sunny in here. So it really is good to see you. Let's start with a quick word of prayer, please. Dearest Lord God, thank you so much for all the blessings that you give us. God, thank you that we can come together as a church family, no matter the weather, and celebrate being your children together. God, we thank you for the many ways that you're blessing people. We know that there are many people who are hurting, sometimes in their hearts, in their souls, sometimes in their bodies. God, we pray that that your blessing would be on them, that you comfort them. God, sometimes this world is not an easy place to navigate, and we're so grateful that we don't have to do it alone. God, we ask your strong blessing on all of them. God, we love you. We pray for a wonderful service today, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the gift that you give us of this life. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we do want to say happy birthday to Donna. We also have a request. Barb's grandson is in need of a refrigerator. So please speak to her if you know or you know of one or have one. Used, yes. Well, new would be nice. I'm sure no one would object. No one would object to new. We have an annual meeting coming up, and that's on January 30th. The draft budget is available now. Also, if you would please submit any 2021 receipts before January 15th, that would be very helpful to the people that do the money stuff. And donation receipts are in the mail, so talk to Adam if you haven't received yours by the 15th of January. Our scripture reading today is from Revelation 21, verses 22 to 27. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the King of the earth will bring their splendor to it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen.
I, for one, am not used to wearing it, and I'm always eager to get it off. Some of you may have noticed in the last couple years there's been some changes going on to our lifestyle. And change sometimes causes stress, strain, worry, causes mental health and other health problems just from the change, from what we have to go through, what we have to do everything right. With that in mind, I'd like to read a part of an old hymn. We haven't sung it recently here, as far as I know, but I grew up singing this. Maybe the words mean something to you today. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife. When the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? And the chorus, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Remember that song? We could probably define what we're going through as a storm battering against us. And we know that our anchor is fastened to the rock, and we know what our rock is. That our rock is Jesus, and it's not going to move. But today I want to look at the connection between our boat and the rock. There's the anchor down there, fastened deep. For as long as people have been boating, I assume there's been debate on what anchor would work best. Still debate, even today. If you're in weeds or rock or sand, what anchor works best? There's less debate on the connection between the anchor and the boat, and I want to talk about that connection today a little bit, because I suspect in the last couple of years, our connections have been suffering, our relationships. So with the metaphor of an anchor chain, let's think about this for a second. You might, if you've never used an anchor, you may assume that any strong cord would be just fine. But what sailors do, they have the anchor that is designed to dig in and pull sideways, or not pull, not move. If you're above the anchor and you want to lift the anchor, it's designed to pull up fairly easily. But it's designed to lay flat and dig in when it's laying on the bottom of the lake. And it's designed to do that because from the anchor, there's 10, 15, 50 feet of heavy, strong chain attached to the anchor. And most of that lays along the bottom of the lake as well. So that when the wave lifts the boat, before the anchor gets any pressure, the chain, that heavy, strong chain, has to lift off the bottom of the lake, acting as a buffer. If it was a strong steel cable direct from the anchor to the boat, and a wave lifted the boat, a couple things might happen. The anchor would move. You'd be shipwrecked. A part of the boat would be torn away. You'd be shipwrecked. Or the cable would break. You'd be shipwrecked. So they designed this, it's very simple technology, a heavy, strong metal chain links, lays along the bottom of the lake, connected to the anchor, and needing to be lifted before the anchor gets any pressure on it. Pretty ingenious. Let's think about the links for just a second. And the links connecting us to that anchor, to that rock. Kind of like our relationships. What connects us to each other? What connects us to God? The same principles. We have communication. Lately, the last couple of years, you might have found that you're communicating with family, friends, church members, God, you might be communicating less. and you might be receiving communication less. But that's one of the links that holds us to that rock. Faith. We have our faith, and we might believe that our faith is strong. The Bible tells us, take heed, those who think they stand, they could fall. We have to think of the link of faith and keep it intact. We have to obey. We have to have our prayer, communion, forgiveness, trust are all links. And you could probably think of others. But we have to make sure that our connections are there. And we have to check regularly. A sailor who doesn't want to be shipwrecked will check that his anchor chain cord, everything is in tip-top condition. Modern ships have GPSs, and there's a function on the GPS that's called anchor watch. When they're at anchor, they set that. And if the ship moves a certain amount, an alarm will go off, telling the ship's captains or passengers that the ship is moving, and it shouldn't be. Before GPSs, there was a station on ships. Some person had to be on duty when the ship was at anchor just to watch to make sure the ship was not moving. Because if the ship moves at anchor, shipwreck, all lives could be lost. Everything could be lost. Our connection to our rock, our Savior, is important, vital. Without the connection, all could be lost. We're here to remember, to honor the rock, the thing that holds us, the things that we know will not move. When there's new rules every couple months, it seems. There's new restrictions, problems, headaches, plans, canceling plans every couple months. It's nice to know that some things will not change, like a rock, solid, immovable, firm. But it's important to note that we're connected solidly to that. Connection is everything. And a lot of what I've just said, it's not just between us and God, not just between us and Jesus, but each other. Personal relationships are suffering now. Used to be a very, very Canadian thing. Let's get together for coffee. It's hard these days. But we have to examine our relationship, our connection regularly. And we come together at this time to remember Jesus, to reaffirm our connection to him, to examine our relationship to him, and to obey his command, request, desire that we do this in memory of him. Let's pray. Our Lord and Father, thank you for Jesus, for his sacrifice, his love, his teaching, but for the sacrifice so much. Help us to examine our relationship at this time, to reaffirm our relationship, to strengthen our relationship. Please bless the emblems that we take this morning and bless each one who's partaking. Help us to fully understand as much as we can the sacrifice and to honor it. Please bless us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Never ever in my lifetime, and you'll be glad that I did. I love that video. I listened to it several times this past week, and Father Ray Kelly is his name, and a wonderful, wonderful man. I want to talk a little bit, obviously, about Hallelujah today. Here's a question, and don't look at your phones. How often do you think the word Hallelujah is found in Scripture? So if you were taking a test, and that's the question, how often is the word Hallelujah used in Scripture? I thought, 20, 30, 40 times? The word Hallelujah is found four times. Four times only in the Bible. And all four times, it's found in Revelation chapter 19. So I want to spend a little bit of time talking about the word Hallelujah. The word Hallelujah means a song of praise to God. And here's something that some people don't like because they think it's irreverent, that in worship, it's always to be quiet. But that's not Hallelujah. Hallelujah is a loud praise. So in Revelation 19, I can prove this to you. In chapter 19, I'll just read it. And after this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting. Imagine that. Hallelujah with an exclamation point. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute, meaning Satan and his cohorts, corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. And again, they shouted, Hallelujah. And the smoke from her goes up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and they worshiped God who was seated on the throne. And they cried, Amen, Hallelujah. Then a voice from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both great and small. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. And fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's people. And then the angel said to me, write these things. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And each one of us is invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And that we will be there someday. And I suspect the word Hallelujah will be heard many, many times. So there's a beautiful passage of Scripture, a song of praise, a great multitude. It's powerful. So I want to read verses 11, Revelation 19, verses 11 to 16. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. And with justice, he judges and he makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. We know as Jesus. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The word hallelujah seems very appropriate with what John is writing in the Revelation. And the book of Revelation itself is a difficult book to read. There are certain scriptures in the Old Testament that have apocalyptic views to them. And you read it and you go, well, what exactly does that mean? And most apocalyptic writing wants to create a picture. And then you look at a picture and you look at it and say, well, I think I understand the meaning of that. I think that makes sense. And Revelation has these pictures continually being expressed to us. And they're wonderful passages that remind us that we're here today because of Jesus Christ, and that we honor him, and that we worship him, and that we love him, knowing that it was a great sacrifice for him, and then the understanding of what will be coming for us as well. It's a powerful, powerful book. So in Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, you might want to just sort of picture this with me. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon, and under her feet a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was with child and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads. Its tail swiped a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. And then this picture, it's not pleasant. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. You see, that's the Christmas story. King Herod heard that there was this child who was about to be born, who will be the ruler of all things, and he did not want that. He's talking about Jesus himself. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snapped up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for some 1,260 days. And there was a war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. And the great dragon was hurled down, and the ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down, and finally the victory. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much as to even shrink from death. It's this beautiful picture that salvation is ours in Christ Jesus. And these picture book stories are interesting. So that's why Revelation 19 says what it says. After what I just read, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives so much, even as to shrink back from death. Why? Because of hallelujah. God's promise for all of us. It was a loud hallelujah. And then later on it says, let's rejoice and be glad, for the wedding has come. And then in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7, these are words that we know. And often when it comes to an apocryphal book, we just want to skip over sometimes the pictures and get to things that really hold us to this book. And the beginning of the book and the end of the book are hallelujah stories, praise and worship. This is who God is. This is what he gives us because of Jesus. And it's a story that is phenomenal. Let me read it to you and hear it, if you will, for the first time. I know many of you heard it many, many times, but based on the things that have already been said today, now hear it through this lens. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer even any sea. I saw the holy city, heaven, I don't know, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. If you will, picture God sitting on one side of you this morning, and Jesus sitting on the other side of you this morning. And standing behind you is God's Holy Spirit with his arms wrapped around all. This is the picture. They will be his people. God himself will be with them, us, and be their God. And notice, he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death. Hallelujah. There will be no more mourning. Hallelujah. Or crying. Hallelujah. Or pain. Hallelujah. For the old order of things has passed away. And then he who was seated on the throne, Jesus, is saying this, and please hear his words to you and to me. I am making everything new. Right now, it may not seem like it, but he is. He's not saying, I will. He says, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it's done. I am the beginning and the end. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. And those who are victorious will inherit all this. And I will be their God. And they will be my children. They will be my people. Hallelujah. And then in chapter 22, verses 1 to 17, here is a restoration of heaven come to earth, if you will. Picture this in your mind, if you will. Then an angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, symbolizing very much the 12 tribes of Israel, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of all the nations. That's an important scripture, which we'll finish up in just a moment. That's unique, very unique, because no longer will there be any curse. None. No more sin. No more pain. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, meaning we live with them. He lives with us. And his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the lamp or the light of the sun. For the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign for a week. No. They will reign forever and forever. The Hallelujah Chorus. The angel said to me, "These words, you can count on them. They're trustworthy and they're true. There's no exaggeration. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophet, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place." He's talking about John. And out of the apostles, John is the one who loved. And in his books, when you read his writings, it emphasizes love. And so Jesus says, "Look, I'm coming soon. Blessed are those who keep the words of this prophecy in this scroll. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard, some fell down, worshiped the feet of the angel who would be showing them to me. But he said to me, 'Don't do that.' The angel said to me, 'Don't fall down in front of me. Don't do that. I am like you. I am a fellow servant with you, with your fellow prophets, and with all who keep the words of this scroll. Worship God.'" Hallelujah. Then he told me, "Don't seal up these words of the prophecy of this scroll, because the time is near. Let those who do wrong continue to do wrong, and let those who are vile continue to be vile, because they're going anyway. And let those who do right continue to do right, and let those who are holy continue to be holy." Hallelujah. "Look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what they've done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside of that city, there are dogs, those who practice magic arts, the immoral, murderers, idolaters, and so forth." And then Jesus speaking, verse 16, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to you, this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And God's Holy Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' Let those who hear say, 'Come.' Let those who are thirsty come. Let all who wish to take the free gift of the water of life." And it's this magical, powerful story of the Hallelujah. The Hallelujah. The sins that you and I bear sometimes can be overwhelming. And even though forgiveness has come to us because of Christ Jesus, Jesus who loves to forgive, God who loves to forgive, the Holy Spirit who encourages us to keep moving forward. But there was a price for all of this. And we know the story, that Jesus came as the sacrifice for all of us. You see, the story of the Hallelujah, this loud praise and worship, came with the cost of the blood of the Lamb, knowing that Jesus was happy to do it for us. For you and I, who love the people that we love most, We are willing to give ourselves totally and completely to them. And if we had to, we would give ourselves totally and completely for them, wouldn't we? And this is Jesus, his living sacrifice, singing praise, the hallelujah. Can you imagine when we close our eyes in death and open our eyes instantly, hearing the song of the hallelujah that we can be part of someday? And it comes because of the blood of Christ. Just a few more scriptures and I'm done. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, it says they, hopefully us, overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much as even to shrink from death. And then one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, probably yours too, is in Peter, 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. For you know it's not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed, saved, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you by our ancestors. No, but with the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without blemish or defect. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And as Jesus said, this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And Paul says, Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption by his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So when we take communion, and we have taken communion, that represents Christ's body and his blood. But more than that, it represents him and all he's done for us and continues to do for us. And so Paul encourages us, be shepherds of the church of God. He encouraged elders, be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. And then one of our favorites, I think, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. In my mind, already this morning, I pictured so many people throughout the world, different languages, different colors, different ethnicities, all coming together as one in Christ Jesus, which will happen. It's not just a dream. It is a reality. It's part of who we are and our future as well. And then lastly, in Colossians, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Then I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, hallelujah.
Thank you so much to Don and to Tim and to Adam and the praise team for taking us to a place that's hard to go to at home unless you've, you know, got an online worship service. We're so grateful for the pictures that you painted for us of the chain that holds the anchor and helps it to do its work. God, for reminding us that we need to be part of community, even in these tough times. And thank you so much, Don, for reminding us of all these images that are hard to see when we're, you know, cleaning the house or going to work or doing whatever it is that we do. But they're just as real. And for reminding us that we can say hallelujah. And, you know, we're all masked and we're not supposed to make big noises. That's kind of dangerous. But boy, everything in me just wants to shout hallelujah. So thank you for those reminders. Let's close with a word of prayer. God, you are amazing. God, thank you so much for these wonderful people that remind us of all of the things that are unseen to our everyday eyes, God, but are seen with our hearts. God, it's amazing. And thank you so much for even the musicians that sang words of praise to you. We're so grateful. God, we ask your blessing, especially on, as we began the service, on those people who are particularly struggling through these times. God, please, your comfort, your guidance, your just your spirit coming alongside of these people and helping them in ways that cheer them, that help them to see what, catch a glimpse of what we saw today. God, we thank you so much. We pray your blessing for this week. Help us to be a light to the world. Help us to remember our true place in your hallelujah story. God, we love you and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Amen. Have a great week.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. If you would like to be part of the videos but aren't comfortable joining us in person, you can send us a video. Get in touch via email or on Facebook for more details. Scriptures marked NKJV, taken from the New King James Version, copyright 1982 by Thomas Nelson. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.